Welcome to Valley Roundup. I'm Carolyn Zachariasen. The Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement Agency is stepping up its deportation efforts in the region. One editor takes issue with the perception that those who speak only Spanish are illegal immigrants.
It angers me that we have whipped up this fear that these folks are taking things away from people.
Attorney Jeff Sessions wants some answers from Colorado's governor about our state's marijuana use. And the Colorado Secretary of State has released millions of voters' information for President Trump. Some are worried it will be used in nefarious ways.
I think that's what's concerning. In talking to people, it's been available before, but it hasn't been presented on a silver platter like this.
Finally, local and state officials are making decisions about whether e-bikes are appropriate on trails like the Rio Grande. Pitkin County has banned them for now.
Just to be safe, they said, all right, look, we're going to not allow them so that we can have a community discussion about what the community wants to do here.
And now I turn to my guest this week. Thank you for joining me. I've got Jason Auslander, he's a reporter for the Aspen Times, in the studio along with Lorenzo Semple. He's a columnist for the Aspen Daily News. Madeline Osberger, she's a contributing editor at the Aspen Daily News. And on the phone in Glenwood, we have Randy Essex, the editor and publisher of the Glenwood Post-Independent. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Great to be
Thanks.
Here.
Thanks.
And there's a lot of headlines recently about immigration issues under the Trump administration. There was an arrest made by ICE, which is the
Immigration Customs Enforcement.
Yeah, Immigration Customs Enforcement. And while I guess I didn't think they were as active as they say they are. They've made 57 arrests in the fiscal year of Summit, Pitkin, Garfield counties, and we're working on a story, and we did an initial report about this guy who was just plucked off his driveway. He was talking to his girlfriend in the morning. He was going to work and arrested him, and now he's in Denver and he's getting deported, and they said he was a criminal, and the only record we can find as far as criminal record goes is he bought some alcohol from minors back a couple years ago. So there's no felony there.
Yeah, arrest me.
Yeah, right? So, and what I've also been told is that these ICE agents are starting to hang out in the courthouses in front of them, particularly Garfield County. I don't know if you've heard that, Randy, but...
We have, yeah.
So, you know, they're stepping up, this activity because of the Trump administration, and now... This bill what's it called? The RAISE Act?
Yes.
Randy, you guys did a story about what the impact would be on your community.
Right. This is a bill that a couple of Republican members of Congress had proposed, and it really wasn't going anywhere, and Trump threw his weight behind it. And what it does is dramatically reduce legal immigration and changes the way work permits, green cards, are issued. Now, of course, and this is a really big deal in the Valley, if you have close relatives who are in the country legally, you're much more able to get a work permit. And this keeps families together. It's the way a great many people who we interact with and see every day are here legally. So both Trump and many of the critics of immigration, who I certainly hear from in social media comments and letters to the editor, always say that we're opposed to illegal immigration, not legal immigration. So here we are proposing a way to cut legal immigration and creating a scorecard that ranks being able to speak English and have certain skills as a way into the country. And you mentioned the story that we did, and I did find it both interesting and revealing that immediately the social media comments were the typical illegal immigration comment. So I jumped into that, and I said, hey, this is a story about legal immigration, which I thought you folks always say is okay. It's pretty clear to me that it's not the color of the document, you know, in a green card that is the issue here. It's the color of something else.
Well, Well, Randy, yeah. I think you brought up a good point when you said you mentioned people speaking English. There's a common perception, I think, and hey, I'm guilty of it, when you run into people in the community who are Latino and they don't speak English, I immediately go to the default setting of, hey, they're illegal.
I grew up in Nebraska, and a whole lot of older folks were German and spoke German in their homes, and their grandparents didn't speak English.
Right.
And they were here legally.
And for me, I have the luxury of working in an industry that, you know, some say is dominated by illegal.
Is it?
That's my perception of it.
And landscaping, outdoor work.
I mow lawns for a living. I'm out there. I see the crews of guys who, yeah, some. I think my immediate reaction is, hey, a lot of these guys are illegal, and I interact with them. I talk to them. They all know my name. My name's Lorenzo. So they all know me by my name. I'll talk to them on a first name basis. I'm up at the landfill a lot, and I'm, you know, working next to guys that I'm perceiving are illegal. You know, I'll strike up conversation with them, and they know a few words of English, but the conversation ends there. I've actually written a couple columns about this that have been not printed because they were feared, like they were too racial. You know, so
really,
yeah. It's a situation in Aspen where there's a perception that if ICE was to come here and do a raid, it would be like barrel shooting fish, because all they'd have to do is go to the West End and, you know, get all these, round up all these landscaping crews, or maybe a giant home site where you see, you know, it's dominated by Latinos. And then it's like I said, I'm guilty of it. I'll go to that default setting of, hey, these guys, there's a lot of the guys that are illegal. My understanding is that the percentage of illegal immigrants in the workforce is nationwide at 3%, which seems like a low number. But if you're here, it seems higher.
It does.
So that's a perception to me that I think, you know, hey, whether I'm right or not, it feels to me like there's a higher percentage of illegal aliens.
I don't think being able to speak English correlates to legal status. My wife is a volunteer with English in Action, and the woman she is paired with, their whole family just got permanent residency, and they primarily speak Spanish in the home. They're working to learn English, which is, by my understanding, what everybody wants them to do. Let's hand out some kudos to a couple organizations in this valley, as long as we're talking about immigrants, the Valley Settlement Project and English in Action, both work really hard to, you know, help bring people out of the shadows, help people gain legal status or cement their legal status. This is just so fraught with misperceptions and economic silliness. I mean, we know that Skeeco, we know that Gold Construction, we know all kinds of businesses say they couldn't operate without immigrant labor, and that does beg the question of whether they are being presented with fraudulent documents, and in some cases they no doubt are. But there's just, you know, what would our economy be without the immigrants who are our neighbors here?
Well, I think that prices would go up quite a bit. Existing employees would probably have to shoulder a lot more work until it can be filled in. I think maybe employers are going to have to start paying what the costs really are here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Randy, let me just make one quick point here. The immigration, the immigrants in this valley, the effect that it has had on my business, and it's made me do a better job, because the immigrants that I see that are here working, doing what I do, are really hard workers, and they're really skilled, and they are invested emotionally in what they do and being here, and they do a better job. So the effect that immigrants have had on me is it's made me do a better job. Right. So I'm grateful to the immigrant community in Aspen.
Will you be slacking then if we have a mass deportation? Your work ethic will slide?
Well, I'm just saying, you generally, I think you're raised up by the people in your industry.
When there's competition.
Yeah, and I, you know, I was at a restaurant the other night, and I noticed the Latinos who were behind the counter cooking were highly skilled chefs, and they are, you know, in turn, in that industry as well, raising collectively the bar.
Mm-hmm. Jason, you going to say something?
Well, I was just going to say, I just saw a headline recently, I think it was on Yahoo, that crops are rotting in the fields in California because of this issue. I didn't really read the story, but, you know, that was just bound to happen. And I think, you know, I mean, this has been the situation for a long, long time here. And once you disrupt basically, you know, the jobs that class takes, then, you know, there's bound to be some economic consequences, and
right.
You know,
wow.
Maybe that's what they want.
Well, according to the San Francisco,
the federal government,
according to the San Francisco Chronicle, since February, 57,000 people have been deported under this. We have 57 and 57,000 across the country.
Yeah,
no wonder those crops, and until they get the, can have machines pick those crops, the avocados or whatever. Yeah, you're right. This is the future,
well,
I guess.
Can I just throw in? I've been, you know, we think about Latino immigrants, and we think about this sort of traditional argument about who's here legally and who's not. You know, certainly there have been guest worker programs through the years. Certainly ranchers knowingly employed people who were here illegally for many, many years. I mean, this is ingrained in the economy of this region. I think that we just, the language thing that I mentioned with growing up around German families, you know, I think that we really lack context here. I mean, when I worked in Iowa, Iowa was historically welcoming to refugees. So there were a lot of Vietnamese people, there were a lot of Somalian people, there were a lot of Bosnian people. In terms of proportions of who causes problems, you know, being in the news business, you see who commits crimes, and it is unusual for, I think that, and there are studies that back this up, that crimes committed by first-generation immigrants are much less than those of people of all ethnicities who are born in the United States who have been here for generations. When I worked in Detroit, a Syrian resident, and obviously he was there legally, diagnosed my throat cancer and did it correctly. And after I was diagnosed, I heard stories about family doctors who would put people on 6 months of antibiotics, hoping that the lymph node in their throat went down without recognizing what is now known as an obvious sign. A lot of people would see olive-skinned people and assume they were Muslim, but almost every convenience store in Detroit is run by Chaldeans who are Iraqi Christians who have been persecuted. And some of those people face deportation now because they committed minor crimes, and the Trump administration has gone after people who, you know, have any crime. And I don't know if you used it on the air, Carolyn, but I lost my phone recently at the poorhouse, and an immigrant family found it across the street, and when we called it, they picked it up and they met us. So somebody, perhaps a drunken cowboy on rodeo night, had picked it up in the poorhouse. It had a code on it. They couldn't use it, so they just ditched it on the sidewalk across the street. Immigrants who I have encountered, and sure, some people commit crimes. There are bad people of all types, but immigrants who I have encountered everywhere in my career, everywhere in my life, have been polite, have been family-oriented, have worked hard. And it angers me that we have whipped up this fear that these folks are taking things away from people. I just, you know.
Which I think was the reason behind picking counties.
Bigotry is based on lack of familiarity and fear. And if we get to know our neighbors, we're going to feel a whole lot better about it.
Yeah, what you said, Randy.
Jason?
Well, I mean, I think it's about the reason behind Pickens County's proclamation that they're going to support the immigrant community that's here. And for whatever reason, you know, I haven't heard about ICE agents hanging out at the Pickens County courthouse. And I don't know if that's because of that, because the sheriff would look down on that. I mean, he can't do anything about it. But,
no.
You know, I don't know. I mean, maybe, and the fact that it's happening in Garfield, maybe there's just more. I don't know. But, I mean, I, since that happened, haven't heard a whole lot of rumblings. However, I'm certainly not a part of the immigrant community
right.
up here, so how
well,
would I know?
I mean, the effect now is that these people are afraid to go to their court date. If they have had run-ins with the law, then they're going to have a failure to appear, and then they're even in more trouble.
Right.
So it's almost like entrapment to a certain degree.
Well, if they're going after people with, you know, any crime—
Well, it seems like
from minor stuff all the way up, then.
And then, you know, they don't have to do much to explain themselves either. It's like they're this, they operate in this, you know, sheet of secrecy, mm-hmm. you know, the feds. So it's hard to get any information out of them and their justifications for picking up this guy when it's yeah. not, he's not a felon.
Any reporter who's tried to call a federal agency knows that.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to the hand, pal.
It's true. You should see the email chain between. Our reporter and the spokesperson for ICE. Yeah. It's one-word answers.
Yeah, it's a joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't even know why those people are employed. You know, they make
right.
a ton of money, and
right.
they make a ton of money to say no.
Yeah, or nothing.
Or nothing. You
know? Right.
Yeah.
Are there bad hombres of other, you know, non-Latino who are being picked up, or Eastern
no.
Europeans? This is very targeted then.
That was Madeline Osberger, contributing editor of the Aspen Daily News. I'm Carolyn Zachariasen, and you are listening to Valley Roundup, an analysis and commentary of the week's news with writers and editors. We continue our conversation with Jason Auslander, reporter for the Aspen Times, Randy Essex, editor and publisher of the Glenwood Post-Independent, and Lorenzo Semple, columnist for the Aspen Daily News. Colorado is in the crosshairs of our attorney general. And, you know, he's now suggesting that we have more car accidents. He wants us to explain, he wanted Governor Hickenlooper to explain why we have increased traffic deaths, emergency room visits, and pot consumption among youth since we legalized the drug in 2014.
Well, nothing has shown any of that. I mean, maybe the car accidents have gone up, which I haven't seen, but... You know, the state as part of this legalization process was required to keep track of that stuff. And so, you know, you can go to, there's a state website that's got and it's done by, I believe, CSP, the Colorado State Patrol, or one of, like, state police or whatever they are. And, you know, it hasn't shown growth in youth use, and that's backed up by people who work with youth here. And the emergency room visits, I think, and this is my understanding of it, that initially they were high because the edibles were not being regulated properly. Now, once the state got a handle on that and said every little piece is 10 milligrams, just straight across the board, you can't have any more than that, those have stabilized at least, or gone down and kind of gone back and are pretty low. And I maybe wrong about that, but I think that was the main culprit behind those emergency room visits.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully our governor explained this to Mr. Sessions.
I don't think it would matter to him, though.
No.
Right.
And hasn't the state, though, the legislature passed a law that said that there's some way, like legally, to convert recreational to medical if the feds go after it? They think they did that. Uh-huh. And so there is a little bit of protection there if he decides to wage that kind of war. But it just seems ridiculous. Pandora's box is open. I mean, how many? I was just in Oregon, you know, and I was on the coast where it's very resorty, and there's dispensaries pretty much everywhere. You know, throw a stone,
it's here.
You're gonna hit one.
Right.
You know, and so it's here, and you know, it's sort of like beating back a flood.
Right.
When Snowmass gets a dispensary, then the federal gates are gonna open. That's my prediction. Snowmass is the
That's the litmus test.
There was a guy at the head of the Woody Creek Caucus was at the Pickens County meeting yesterday reiterating their stance that they would not allow that at Woody Creek. So
Woody Creek is a dispensary.
Woody Creek gets a dispensary, then you really know.
Yeah. Was that for dispensaries or was that for a grow operation?
I I think it was either.
Right.
Maybe he was talking about a grow operation. Right. That's probably more likely to happen there.
And also, Colorado is being affected by the Trump administration in the Secretary of State's decision to release all this voter data. The other effort being waged in Washington, which is, you know, that there was 3 million people who voted illegally. By illegal immigrants or by who?
I say go for it. I mean, why, you know, it was publicly available stuff. You know, what's the problem?
Well, the problem is that 5,000 people opted out.
Out of 3.4 million active voters.
Right.
That's a fairly decent. You know, I would disagree with you, Jason, because that information has not been aggregated prior to this. So if someone in the Trump administration wanted to, I think that they would see the high percentage of Democrats here and then see who those Democrats are, registered Democrats. I think that's what's concerning. And talking to people, people don't feel like it's been available before, but it hasn't been presented on a silver platter like this.
If they have ulterior motives, then that's a completely other thing, which nobody should probably be surprised about. But, you know, they're saying that they're trying to do an inquiry into illegal voting. So, hey, you know, go for it.
But this came on the tails of, you know, the Secretary of State. We had a big conference here in June, and they talked about Colorado has these just great backup for no voting, no illegal voting was believed to have happened.
That's
here.
Why I say go for it. What's the problem?
But, well, then why do you need to go for it if we don't have a problem here already?
You know, Madeline, there is no why here. Is this big news?
It will be a fig leaf for more restrictive voting rules around the country and Republicans control much of the state. There is a story that the Washington Post, so, you know, presumably real news, posted that there is a poll that nearly half of Republicans would be open to delaying the 2020 election if Trump says that there is evidence of voter fraud that requires us to postpone it.
It's news, Jason, only in the fact that Colorado's Secretary of State, Wayne Williams, released it.
I mean, is it news that there's Republicans, that there's this percentage of Republicans in Colorado and this percentage of Democrats, and most of the Democrats live on the Front Range, most of the Republicans live on the Western Slope. I mean, this isn't big news. I mean, they presumably know that. Again, these are, you know, the results of the election are public. All of these things are public. I mean, it adds up to the very same thing. And should they be doing it? Well, I mean, there doesn't seem to be any evidence of it, but they are doing it. So if they're going to do it, then okay. I mean, unless they're going to make up the results from these things, it seems like they're probably going to find that there was little to none, no illegal voting.
Well, I would just counter with the majority of Secretary of States across the country have said no or no with, you know, asterisks. And that also there was a candidate here just a few days ago while I was out of town, but she's making that kind of why she wants to run for Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's her platform.
That's her platform.
Right. Let's move on to e-bikes. Pitkin County commissioners on Tuesday. What did they do, Jason?
The county commissioners on Tuesday passed an emergency ordinance basically reiterating open space. The Pitkin County Open Space and Trails doesn't allow e-bikes on any of their trails, which would include the Rio Grande Trail, it would include Smuggler Mountain, it would include any one of a multitude of trails that all of us regularly use. So there's this state law that's going into effect, that went into effect yesterday, I believe, that says that those are allowed on pedestrian and bike trails. So there was some question as to whether that superseded local law. And so just to be safe, they said, all right, look, we're gonna not allow them so that we can have a community discussion about what the community wants to do here. One of the things that especially Patty Clapper was in favor of, as well as Rachel Richards and Steve Child, to be honest, wanted a sunset date on it. You know, let's have this conversation by May 1st at the latest so that we can get going on this. This is an issue that's not going to go away. And there were people from bike shops that showed up that, and also people who ride these bikes. And I thought it was eye-opening because I don't. So, you know, and I think it's great on some levels that, you know, it does accomplish what a lot of entities.
Support for Aspen Public Radio comes from Balcom and Green PC, a full-service law firm with offices in Glenwood Springs, Aspen, and Basalt, providing advice and solutions for their clients' legal needs throughout Western Colorado for more than 60 years. Learn more at balcomgreen.com.
These around here want to do is get people out of their cars. And this allows them to not have to work so hard to ride uphill. And mm-hmm. let's face it, if you're commuting from Snowmass Village or Woody Creek, one of those directions, you're going to have to ride uphill.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what these people were saying. And I think that there's definitely something to be said for like commuter-type trails to having those. I think that they're not this Class 3 version of electric bike. One of the bike owners was saying that applies to backcountry mountain bikes that can go, for some reason, 28 miles an hour, which doesn't seem to me to be doable. It seems right. to be ridiculous.
I spend a lot of time on the Rio Grande Trail, and I've encountered a ton of e-bikes last summer, but a lot more so this summer.
Well, and are they zooming past you?
No, they're not. They're not by any means zooming past, and they're the majority of them, I would say all of them, are appear to be either tourists or second homeowners
or acting responsibly, though
very responsibly. And so I don't see it as a dangerous thing. I've frankly been past or had more, you know, dangerous encounters on people on road bikes going quickly, but I think a good kind of just a general good rule would be to allow e-bikes on paved trail surfaces and not on the trails.
And I think that's the way it's going is what it sounds like to me. And also, I should reiterate, too, that the open space rules do allow e-bikes for people who are
some kind of
like handicapped or mobility challenged or however they right. put it or something.
But yeah, this is a huge gray area.
If you're stopped like by one of the rangers or a cop or something, oftentimes you can just say, look, you know, my knee is, you know, generally somebody's got that kind of excuse and they'll say, okay, you know, no big deal. It's right. not like they're looking for a doctor.
Very, very suspicious of that because it turns into this, basically an e-bike becomes your service dog.
I was just mm-hmm. thinking that.
So now right, you're, you know, right. you're the guy in employee housing with the dog. My thought is, hey, there's something to be said for aging gracefully.
Right. Right. Well, and
drive up to the bells.
And I think that's a good argument for them not being allowed as quote unquote mountain bikes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on single
trails. So there's Mark Gold, who owns Gold Construction and is based here, does work in Glenwood, has workers on the north side of the river, and does work in Aspen as well. Spent $80,000 on e-bikes to transport his crews. He's going to haul them in a trailer to a pickup point so that his guys don't have to sit in the detour.
I heard that.
He's not making money if they're doing that, and he's trying to do his part. And he's pressing the raft aboard. The way the law is written is that they are legal unless a government agency that controls the trail votes otherwise.
On that note, we will end it. So thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carolyn.
Thank you.
That was Randy Essex, editor of the Glenwood Post Independent, speaking on the phone. Thanks to him and my other guests this week, Jason Auslander, reporter for the Aspen Times, Madeline Osberger, contributing editor of the Aspen Daily News, and Lorenzo Semple, columnist for the Aspen Daily News. I'm Carolyn Sakariasin, and you've been listening to Valley Roundup. You can get a rundown of links and more information on the stories covered on this show on our website, aspenpublicradio.org. Valley Roundup is a production of Aspen Public Radio News.